I am still Digital Dave.
And I'm kind of sideways Fast Eddie this morning.
Yeah, that's true. It must have been the rain.
Could have been.
Anyway, we are joined by a cadre. There's that word again, yeah, cadre.
That's today's word, everybody.
Yep, of people who are National General Aviation Award recipients. I'm not quite sure what that is, but you're going to explain it, right?
I will.
Okay, we have Bo Hardison, Adam, and I didn't get your name because we were...
My name's Loretta Webb.
Loretta, all right. Okay, exactly. What are they honored? For?
So these gentlemen, we have another lady coming, are the winners of the 2025 General Aviation Awards Program. Three aviators in the country are awarded as through a series of judging of peers every single year since 1962. We have the Flight Instructor of the Year, the Aviation Maintenance Technician of the Year, and the FAA Safety Representative of the Year. And that's what we're all about, and we want to share it with the community so that, A, they know their friends, the colleagues, and peers are eligible for something like this, but also what they do for the community are things most likely they're doing for the community, and perhaps they could be inspired by this.
Okay, now, Adam here is in uniform, so this is obviously stuff he's doing off the clock that earned him this award. Is that right?
It is. Yeah, because I'm in the Air National Guard, but I also teach at my local airport.
Okay.
Yeah.
So who got what awards?
So Adam is our Flight Instructor of the Year. And Bo is our Aviation Maintenance Technician of the Year. And Josh Slagle will be here in moments. And she is our FAST Team Representative of the Year.
Cool. As a flight instructor, award-winning flight instructor, what advice do you have for us students? How do we pick a flight instructor?
How do you pick a flight instructor?
Yeah.
So I like to tell folks that are looking for somebody to teach them to find a flight instructor that is interested in their path. A lot of flight instructors are on their way up to professional flying. Some people aren't. So you want to find a flight instructor that's interested in your path to aviation. Are you interested in just recreation? Are you interested in going to be a professional pilot? That's what you need to look for. But the second thing you need to look for is somebody that does, a proper briefing, a flight, and then a debriefing, not just somebody who wants to go out to the airplane and log some hobs and then high five after the flight and see you next week. Find somebody who's really invested in making sure you understand what's going to be on the flight, take the flight lesson, and then come back and talk about what could be done better on that flight so you get the most out of your money.
That sounds like good advice.
Yeah.
The problem is with us new students is we don't know if that's a good – was that a good pre-flight? Was that a good – I don't know. So you got to help us on that. We're not real bright.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that's what I'm saying. If you're seeing somebody who's invested in making sure that that's making sure that your questions are answered, that's asking you if you understand things, including new items for you to learn each flight, that's what you're looking for. If they're just kind of mailing it in, that's probably not the CFI you want.
I tend to agree with that.
Yeah.
Well, I did go to a CFI once, we were flying off 2,200 foot grass with a drop on the end, and he says, "We don't use flaps on takeoff." And I'm like, "Why not?" "Oh, because when you retract them, the airplane sinks." I'm thinking to myself, "No, I want to stack the deck in my favor, and flaps help." So I only flew them once. That was enough.
Yeah, sometimes it's apparent, and nothing against them. Everybody's different. Everybody teaches different, but you also have to find somebody that works with your personality.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. And gives you what you need.
Absolutely.
Well, not only that, but in my personal experience, I want an instructor who's going to challenge me a little bit. I was flying with an instructor, same field. And he gave me a couple of scenarios that were very questionable. And, he was testing me. And the good news is I passed the test.
There you go.
And you got to use the airplane again?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, well, that's good.
Well, both of them involved stuff on the ground. One was with skydivers in the air. The other was an open oil door.
Mine was a skunk.
A skunk
on the runway.
Oh. Yeah. An animal on the runway. Hey, yeah, happens, yeah. You know?
Do you know a go around at 20 feet on a student has only done like three landings?
That's
oh
right.
My
yeah.
gosh.
That kind of scares the crap out of you.
Yeah,
if you're getting challenged on every flight, then you probably have a good CFI. You know, you shouldn't go up and be like, oh, wow, I knocked that flight out of the park like every time. You need to go up and learn something new and challenge yourself and expand your horizons. That's the way you want to do it.
The way I was taught was that if you're not scared at least once during a flight, you're not learning anything.
Yeah. Wow.
Nice.
I remember an incident. Never mind. Story time. Forget it. Maintenance mechanic.
Yes,
sir. Unsung heroes of the air, right? Without you, we don't fly.
Well, I think we all work together. You know, at the beginning of the day and the end of the day, it's all about safety. So whether we're learning how to fly or we're learning systems on an aircraft and maintaining it properly, you know, our job is to make sure that the aircraft is safe to fly. And if someone encounters a problem afterwards or has something that goes wrong with them, then we want to make sure we take care of it and resolve that issue.
Okay. I want to know how many times you wanted to unbolt the pilot and replace him. The pilot is defective. We need a new one.
Well, the good news for me is I'm also a pilot, so I can talk bad about both sides of the house. So that gives me a lot of leeway because, nice. You know, it's like you'll get a note in a cockpit that says loose nut. And so the common reply is tighten loose nut.
Right,
you know?
Right.
So,
what is it? Dead bugs on windshield, fresh bugs on backboard.
Yeah.
Stuff like that.
Well, you know, a lot of people don't realize what goes into, say, an annual inspection. I've been fortunate. The club airplane, I got to pull it apart one time, take all the fairings off, all the non-essential stuff to give the mechanic, you know, less time on our bill. And it was still a hefty bill. People don't understand what goes into that. How can you educate people regarding, you know, maintenance and why it costs so much?
Well, if you do things right, there's always going to be a cost involved with it. So if you're an owner-operator, you really shouldn't even be looking at purchasing or having an airplane if you're not willing to spend the money to maintain it properly. It's a self-policing type of environment here because people really don't check unless there's an issue after the fact. But if you take care of it and you're maintaining it properly, then we're trying to mitigate and minimize any possible problems. There's enough things that can come up like a skunk on a runway, you know?
Yeah.
There's not a whole lot maintenance guys can do about that.
No.
But making sure that the airplane is airworthy, the engine's in good shape, the oil's, you know, taken care of, the spar. You know, I personally specialize in non-destructive testing, so we're kind of a calibrated tool for a mechanic. Mechanics are really the guys that turn the wrenches and have the screwdrivers and things like that. What we do is highly specialized, along with, you know, we do avionics, the 91, 411, 413. That's very important because if the instruments aren't accurate and you think you're at a certain altitude and you're not, then that can cause you problems.
Yeah, that's a bad day.
It's a bad day.
How do I cultivate a relationship where I work with my AMP? Because we're both very mechanical, but we're not licensed AMPs. Well, I know I can take an airplane apart. Putting it back together, making sure it's done right is the question.
Right. That's a very good question. It's like what Adam said. It's all starts with the communication and how you're talking with the person. So if you bring your plane in, I feel a pilot should know about the systems on the airplane. A lot of times they don't, and those are the things that might cause you problems when you're having a flight. So if you have an in-flight fire, you know, what caused that? You know, do I need to cut the fuel off to mitigate, you know, putting the fire out? What are my emergency procedures for landing? You know, things like that. So I've done some presentations. We're all fast team reps as well. And I'm very fortunate to be with such, you know, great people. And our industry as a whole is like that. But it all starts with communication. So if you go in and you start talking with a mechanic and you do a brief beforehand and then you do a post-brief afterwards. So it's like, if I see something, I'm going to come tell you what I saw. It may be even outside that scope of what I'm supposed to be looking at. But if I see something, I can't ignore it. And I'm going to bring it to your attention. Say, hey, you know, maybe we need to do something about this. You know, we've all had like the oil pop up on the cowl and you know, do we need to do something with that or not? You know, is there something we can fix on the latch? You know, it's a minor thing. It's not going to cause the plane to fall out of the sky, but it can be a distraction, and we don't need a distraction. We've got enough things going on. So communication is key, I think, and then just asking good questions. If you don't know something, you know, we all got to ask the question once, you know, the first time before we learn what's going on.
So there are no stupid questions.
No.
Only answers. Anyway. And the lovely
Jocelyn Slagle.
She just snuck in under the radar. No clearance or anything. You are the safety award winner, I should say.
I am, yes.
Okay, explain to me exactly what the Safety Fast program is about.
So the FAA safety team was designed to build in more safety breaking points for general aviation to get us all where we need to be. In our, 61 general aviation world, the roots of it, we have a flight review every 24 calendar months. We have currency to carry passengers every 90 days, but are you going to feel comfortable getting in the plane with someone that hasn't flown in 23 calendar months? And how current are they, right? So the General Aviation Joint Steering Committee came up with the FAA safety team and put it together so that we could all get on the same page with finding intervals to make safety a priority for all of us and to do it in a way that's economical. You can go on a rainy day like today and complete a FAST team course at home, and you can learn anything about anything. There's a whole bunch of different options out there. So even if you're not maybe flying a glider, you can learn about flying a glider, and it helps you to maintain proficiency in flying, fixed wing. So I think it's a really great opportunity for anybody out there to learn more, grow more, and to have every opportunity available to them. There's no such thing as I didn't know it was there.
Yes, there is, but anyway. We don't want to do that. A lot of online material available, so we can, like you said, we can study it practically any crack of time we have.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Even if we're not flying.
Even if you're not flying, yeah.
Cool.
Even if you're a student pilot at the very beginning of training, you can also use it. I'm a flight instructor as well, and I have a lot of my students go in there and start learning before they ever get to the point of having a certificate in hand.
Okay, well, I want to thank you people for joining us. I'm sorry to cut you off, but we've kind of run out of time.
That's okay.
This is Digital Dave.
And I'm Fast Eddie.
And this is EAA Radio.